Arr, Grog.
Hey everyone, it's the Sideshed Podcast with me, Peter Fickling, Kerry Warbis and Matthew Weir. Well, there's lots of you. We've had record numbers. I mean, we don't normally talk about this stuff, but it's been amazing. A massive jump the last few weeks. I can't really make any head nor sense of it because there was 2 weeks of me and Matthew talking about festivals and going to the pub and then some Kerry holiday chat. So maybe, just maybe, do you guys think it's the Chelsea plotline?
Oh, I thought it was because I came back from holiday.
Oh yeah, obviously that was the Warbis bounce is a given.
Oh, it's definitely that was a bonanza week for the storyline, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, you said as much, didn't you? Last week you were effusive in your praise of the Chelsea stuff.
Yeah. Well,
it's lucky we've had a bumper episode of the Archers this week as well, or a week of episodes, because they'll still be here.
Is that dark sarcasm, Matthew?
No. Don't do dark sarcasm.
No dark sarcasm in the classroom.
And I will be back in the classroom on Monday.
I wondered, you know, when you, because you were in the UK again, and honestly, where you have been looked beautiful. How come you've had another holiday so soon? I didn't understand that from school. Or is this still the summer holiday? Or
yeah, the kids don't come back till Monday. So I was just teaching adults and adult groups, and they're much easier to put on hold and rearrange. Right. Yeah, I was posting quite a bit on our Instagram account with posts from Fake Ambridge, which a lot of people got in touch to say they were enjoying, with me pontificating about what might happen that evening, etc. Yeah, I'll be back at Christmas, so I'll post a few more then.
Well, talking of Christmas, it's this season of rampant commerciality and advertising, so here we go.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I don't know what you two thought, but I was a bit disappointed with how hugely civilized all the three parties in the surprise baby storyline have been this week. Apart from the throwing up, from Beth. Didn't you think they all sort of thrashed it out rather nicely and neatly and calmly for youngsters?
I was just a bit shocked that Ben just kept maniacally laughing all the time.
He was crying, Matthew.
I know. I'm just teasing. Sorry, Mr. Norris. It's just occasionally his cry sounds like a friend of mine's laughs, who laughs quite maniacally with a big grin. And I just kept on picturing this person I know. I was like, this is very inappropriate, Ben. You know, when he broke the news to Josh, when Beth said it was going to be okay. Oh, it's a mess, isn't it? But not as messy as it could have been. And I'm with you, Kerry. It should be messier.
Definitely. And especially the scene with the hair cutting. That was very strange. Like, hello. And Chelsea was sort of going, go on, just say it. And she went, can I have a haircut, please?
Yeah. I mean, am I wrong to think that Beth shouldn't have assumed that haircut was on the house? Because my rich as f- farmer boyfriend has got you up the duff. Your mum's going to food banks and my dad's absolutely loaded as well. So I assume this haircut is free. No, £17.50 slag.
I just really hoped that Chelsea had sort of done it really badly.
Yeah. Do you want to have a look at the back? Oh, Chelsea, you seem to have shaved slag into the back of my head.
Loser.
There was also a bit of a baby Hitler moment, which is, you know, she had razor sharp scissors near Beth's throat and didn't do the right thing.
Newly oiled scissors.
Exactly. You know, this was the chance to do a service for mankind.
Or the Gene Hackman in Mississippi Burning in the barbershop.
Oh, what a film. We were having a mini film chat before where Kerry was pouring yet more piss and vinegar on Matthew and my exquisite taste in cinema. But yeah, I think Mississippi Burning's a cracker.
Yeah, very good.
I have seen that and I agree that is a good one. But with the, I did think, because it's all going so smoothly, obviously we don't yet know what Chelsea's going to decide to do. So that's the next thing we're all waiting for, isn't it? But let's assume that she does go ahead and have the baby. I was thinking that maybe Ben and Beth, for some reason, won't be able to have children.
Oh, are we then getting into some weird adoption storyline?
Not necessarily, but friction that Ben does have a child, but it isn't with who he's with.
Mm.
It's with Chelsea over there on the village green every day in sight.
There was one point, is it when he was talking to Chelsea, he went, how did this even happen? I was like, you haven't got to that bit of your course yet, Ben, for f- sake.
There was quite a lot of talking of Ben's, you know, blind spots when it comes to being a nurse. There was quite a lot of outrage at just how pompous he'd been in the past about everyone else's health choices and the fact that I know he was drunk, but that he didn't, you know, put a Johnny on.
I immediately described it on Twitter as a ravey pity, but then I realised that sounded like something Chris Packham is watching in his bird box through binocular. The ravey pity only comes to the Northern Hemisphere for 1 or 2 months a year.
Because when he was going, oh, I've got to tell you something. I'm really, really sorry. When we broke up, I slept with someone. I was really drunk. I didn't even fancy her. I thought, you bastard.
They keep stressing that, though. Chelsea stressed that as well, didn't she? She didn't fancy them. Quite a link between the two of them as well, because Ben's favourite dish is sausage and mash, and Chelsea liked Ben's mashed sausage.
It worked.
Oh, that's so good. It did work, yeah, despite all the booze and stuff.
What, you mean people who are drunk and intoxicated can have sex, Kerry?
Oh, they very definitely can. It's often better, isn't it, I think.
Okay, good to know.
A bit less inhibited, maybe.
Okay, I was just about fit. That was, I was just overwhelmed by a kind of a mudslide of different gags and inappropriate comments then. And that's all that stopped me from saying something dreadful.
I've ticked all my boxes.
I'm sure we've all had drunk f***s, haven't we?
No. It's always, you know, hole in a sheet, read the Bible before and afterwards. But I was quite irritated by all of this sort of idea that Chelsea was, what was he called it, Matthew? A pity f***. Like, she's so much better than him. And just look at the way that she sort of, like, dealt with Beth. Chelsea is an attractive person. I mean, obviously, we don't know what she looks like, but she's a very attractive person. The idea that Ben was the one doing her a favour is an absolute nonsense.
And she, yeah, because she said something like to Beth that you know, even if I did like him, he loves you. I thought, oh, that's telling, because she's actually slightly mentioning that she probably does quite like him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, do you not think that is the situation she's in? Probably the last thing she's thinking about is romance. Like, you know, her brain's just scrambled with all the other stuff that she's dealing with. You know,
yeah,
food banks, being pregnant.
I like the way that there was that thing when Beth came back from the bathroom and went, "We've had sex since we got back together." I was expecting Ben to go, "Have we?" Don't remember that? Was it a rave?
That was another pity fuck I'm regretting.
But there's, I like the way that Chelsea said, also, all of this kicked off in the first place. They broke up because Steph went in for the kill and kissed Ben. And Chelsea seems that she made the move first, didn't she, on Ben at the rave, as she said to Beth. But I like the way she was just like, I just tried to take his mind off it. Job done.
He then said, didn't he, in a very sensible way, that he'd got loads of tests done for STIs. And then she went, oh, were you never going to tell me? And he was, what's the point? We'd split up. So she would never have known, would she, if there wasn't this pregnancy happening?
She did toggle, didn't she, as well? Because she said, it's ancient history, before she knew who it was. Why are you telling me it's ancient history? And then I was expecting Ben to go, actually, it's not ancient history, Beth. It's actually 15 weeks, precisely. But then she got very upset. She thought it was her sister for a minute. And then she realised it was Chelsea. I mean, that would have been a big old mess. I think the real shit hitting the fan we're waiting for here is Vince, Elizabeth, Ruth, David, Jill axis. I think that's when the shit's going to hit the fan.
Mainly Vince. Because it was quite excruciating, wasn't it? Because he went round, obviously, to have a solar panel chat, which turned into...
As we predicted.
Yep. And then because Josh was going, I think it's a great idea to have more solar panels, Vince. And he went, oh, you're a good lad. Oh, and here's another good lad. And Ben walked in. And obviously he then gifted this huge holiday that he's thought about, you know, being at Christmas. He couldn't even get out of it by saying, oh, it's going to disrupt my college work. It's all right. It'll be Christmas. And then Ruth was like, oh, God, I'd love to go back. I was thinking, all right, Ruth, are you going to end up going to New Zealand with Beth?
Yeah, and they were also, it was about what he was going to buy Beth for her birthday as well, wasn't it? Because he's, and that's the difference between Vince and David, isn't it? You could see he was there saying, well, I've got our new headphones, perfume and books. I was expecting David to walk in and go, have you considered an umbrella?
Whoa, he's been gold this week in a really wrong way, David, hasn't he? With that whole Leonard Llewellyn Bowen scene. Of doing up the house, which
is that yours, Kerry?
Yeah,
your own creation, Leonard. Oh, absolute class!
Thank you.
Very good.
Oh, thanks, lads. but David was just going, I wanted white or off white. That's as exciting as he got. And then when she brought the other samples round, he was like, they're a bit loud, aren't they? Because they probably had a tiny pattern on.
It was some. Leonard just can do everything, can't he? He was like, I'll sketch a design, an interior design for you, as soon as I've got the chicken casserole on and negotiated peace in the Ukraine.
And he's got a broom up his arse sweeping the kitchen floor.
I'll just set a world-beating lap time on the track. I'll come back. I'll settle a couple of disputes down the pub, and then I'll come home and do a piece of a professional decoration. On behalf of creative people everywhere, it is one of the most infuriating things is hearing, you know, what you do for a living being sort of turned into a kind of a hobby. You know, like there's a difference between being a musician or doing a bit of design and being a designer. And anyway, I could just imagine all of the interior designers listening just going, my God, that's not what I do.
I absolutely loved that though, because you know, nowadays you can actually, there are little, you know, you can go online, can't you, and put the colours on your walls and the fabrics and sort of. But he'd done these like rough sketches that somehow he knocked up in hours and had David and Ruth in raptures. But let's not forget, he said he could do oil paintings and he was lying about that.
Yes, his bluebells looked like lampposts, didn't they?
So I'm really hoping this is a total f*** up or he does it really well, but it costs 50 grand.
He lied to Jill, didn't he, that he could paint?
Yeah, that's
didn't
what I mean.
Pass,
yeah.
He passed off some other works as his own or something and then he just did some pencil drawings.
Yeah.
And they were absolutely shocking.
Is this the start of some kind of Leonard the Bullshitter plot then or continuation of it?
Well, I hope so. I was really hoping his chicken casserole was going to be really shit as well. He got it out of the oven and it was like, you know.
Incidentally, his love of Scandinavian interior design led to his nickname with his colleagues. Do you know what it was? Leonard Scandnerd.
Oh my God. God, that is terrible.
Oh, come on.
not as good as Leonard Llewellyn Bowen, is it?
No, it's not. It's absolutely not.
That is funny, though. I like that.
You know, like Lionel Messi's never really performed for Argentina. Even the greatest, you know, the greatest in any endeavour have their off days. Matthew's allowed a bad pun every now and again.
Yeah, that was quite a shock, that one.
Well, I know, I felt physically sick.
One thing I did think, actually, talking of physically sick, was for some reason, I know it's probably just because he's done this on telly, because he got so into this whole kind of Scandinavian vibe, when he was showing the sketches to David and Ruth, I just imagined he was entirely naked and no one wanted to mention it.
Because he has been, hasn't he? There's that photo of him butt naked, isn't
it? It was on Shameless, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a...
You sent that to us on WhatsApp, Matthew.
Well, yeah. Somebody sent it to me via our Facebook group. They posted it, first of all, and I think it got flagged for sensitive content. So they slid into my DMs with a naked Leonard.
I had this conversation with some gay friends last weekend where they wanted me to look at, they just offered me the chance to look at a book of kind of penises of the world that they had knocking around. And I very
Donald Trump on the front cover.
Like a mushroom, that one, isn't it? I was just like, well, no, it's not a homophobic or a prudishness thing. It's just penises look horrible. You know, they're just really horrible things. I don't want anything, you know, like they're, I don't, you know, so this is no comment on Leonard, but the last thing I want to see in a WhatsApp group chat is a flaccid penis or an erect one, in fact.
Is this where Matthew proves us wrong in our WhatsApp group?
Again, just a really lovely penis. And we just have to go, do you know what, Matthew, is that yours? It's absolutely exquisite.
It took me a long time to get that pro account on Instagram. Do you think I'm going to throw it all away?
But you're right, though. Dick pics, unsolicited. All women on Twitter will know, and maybe some men too, that nobody wants an unsolicited dick pic. If they think you're going to get turned on by that, they are wrong.
I was asked to send a dick pic once, and so I did, right? And months later, I was on the bus cleaning up my phone, and it just suddenly flashed up on my screen. I was cleaning up the pictures. But it was the 3:30, 4 o'clock bus journey home with all the kids on. I just got laughed off the bus.
I thought you were going to say months later I was on the cover of Hustler.
Oh, were they laughing because it's really tiny?
Oh, Kerry. No, I'm not going to say, if I'm going to send a dick pic, I'm going to try and make it look as, you know, magnificent as possible, aren't I? So, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
The point, they laughed because here was a, to them, ancient man flicking through his phone, and suddenly his phone was, you know, 100% cock. Oh.
That's another thing about penises. They're very funny, aren't they? They're not just ugly, they're funny.
There's a few of your exes listening now, Kerry. Bottom lips trembling.
Yeah. Yeah, it really works for them when you burst out laughing. Anyway, we've digressed somewhat, haven't
yeah.
we? We've been talking about penises. Should we talk about... I was going to say Kenton, but I actually like him.
Come on, there's a crossover there, isn't there? He is both a penis and likeable.
Yeah.
He is the likeable penis.
He is. I really do like him. This storyline, how are you feeling about the diary nonsense? Are you enjoying it? I did enjoy some of it. What did you think?
They went big enough that I was able to enjoy it. You know what I mean? Where they kind of, it goes almost pantomime-esque and you just have a choice. Do you lean into it and try and see the funny side of it, or do you get all pompous and indignant? And because it wasn't a village play or similar, I was able to kind of like, you know, find it quite funny. Also, Jolene and Kenton do a good double act.
Yeah, they're good, aren't they? And Eddie was really good. I really was laughing and enjoying him winding Kenton up.
I was listening to that scene between him and Kenton when he feigned the tears. I was on the plane coming back last night on my very, very delayed flight, and I just started chuckling away to myself. The people must have thought I was very, very strange. But it wasn't the first time he's had to fake that, isn't it? Do you remember when he had to pretend to be sad so he could muscle everyone out of the flower and produce show? And he roped Oliver in, and Oliver was terrible at pretending to be sad down at the Bull to try and get Kenton and Jolene to pull their hanging baskets. You okay, Oliver? Yes, I'm okay. Just a bit sad, you know. You don't look sad.
Mm, Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I don't like, it's a hateful thing to be doing as a prank, really. And it's all silly nonsense. But I've rather enjoyed it. And Jolene's voice is brilliant. I love her. And Jolene and Lillian as a double act poring over the diary was fun. I did actually think, though, that, you know, when Kenton burst in and went caught in the act, I thought he'd been writing it currently to lead them up the wrong path about the Clary stuff.
That would have been really good.
I know. I mean, it may come out that that is what he... it's too late now, isn't it?
So what are they going to do with it, right? Because Clary's going to be absolutely furious when she finds out. And also, you've got... this is all part of George the baddie, or is he going to be... It's basically Anakin Skywalker, isn't he? Is he going to go to the dark side or not? Is he going to be like Joe, kind of like harmlessly, but sort of illegally naughty, or is he going to go full kind of, Clive Horobin? So those are the two threads, aren't there? What is Clary going to do, and just how bad is George going to get? And also this thing with the turkeys as well. How's that going to f*** up?
I think the diary thing will be fine, and they'll all go, ha, 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 isn't that funny? Because all that's happened so far is Eddie's got a few free beers out of it, and he did say, I'll get Clary a few shifts, extra shifts.
Did he say Clary? I thought they kept talking about Emma.
Oh, was it Emma? Sorry.
Yeah, because George kept saying my mum, didn't he? Emma's been out of it for so long that I couldn't remember the connections. And I was like, hang on, Tracy works at the Bull. But this is all very strange.
Yeah.
I was like, the scriptwriters have confused George with Brad. But no, it's just been so long that Emma hasn't been in it.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I got confused there. But with the turkey thing, I mean, it's proper old school Grundyisms, isn't it, that are going on. And even Clary was saying, oh, this reminds me of when you and Joe used to sort of, if you was, had that look about you, I knew I had to be careful. But I think, do you think the cheap turkeys that are £5 and would supposedly get them 75 quid profit each are just going to give the whole flock bird flu, and then
everyone's suspecting that, isn't it? Because
yeah,
Josh was explaining, or Beth was talking to Josh about avian bird flu a couple of weeks ago when he had their awkward kind of, are we going to live together? Are we not going to live together? Chat. So I think this is going to, he's going to wipe, it's going to end up very messy for them. I think they're going to wipe out all of their turkeys, and also Kenton's going to end up barring them from the Bull. They won't be able to come in anymore. It's going to be an app, and everyone connected to them will lose their jobs. It's going to be a massacre, I think.
But it's so bloody obvious, that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's too obvious. It's almost like...
Wouldn't Eddie have the kind of wherewithal as someone who does this every Christmas to double check this kind of thing about where they're coming from?
You would hope, wouldn't you? Also, they talked about leafleting, which is quite low-key. It's just round your area. And then George went, no, let's put it on social media. And the minute social media is involved in broadcasting the fact that you've got some hooky turkeys.
Yeah, he wants to make videos, because Josh did egg cam, didn't they, when they had that really weird day at Lower Loxley, where they put, and he arranged with Freddie to have a live camera filming chickens.
Yeah, but he's actually allowed to sell the eggs. What I'm more worried about is, would you buy a turkey off these lot?
Probably not, no.
For 80 quid or whatever it is.
I'm almost scared to make another gag now. I thought they could call their social media campaign Gobblebox.
That's a good one.
Don't type that into Google, listeners. I mean, we've all been in pubs when people have turned up selling meat. Right, and I'm always astonished. You know, you must have experienced that, where people turn up in the pub and they've just got like a big sort of a chiller
tray of meat, sort of thing.
Yeah. No, a chiller bag with stolen meat in.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to buy that, that's, I mean, you're asking for trouble.
It's in that area, isn't it? It's like no. I mean, you know, there's savings and there's taking your life in your hands. So you were able to think about the plot and actually retain focus, which I admire, but as soon as they said social media, I got absolutely furious, because regardless of which scriptwriter, there seems to be this kind of idea that social media is this kind of get out of jail free card that can solve any plot hole.
Mm.
Like, oh, they'll put it on social media and suddenly 10,000. Okay, so we promote a silly little podcast, right?
Mm.
And we send out some content every week. You know, if we lived in the Archers world, we'd have a listenership of about 50,000.
What, don't we already?
Sorry, we'd only have a listenership of about 50,000.
What, you mean I spend all those hours on Twitter for nothing? Yeah,
Kerry, I don't know how to break this tube.
It's all pointless. No, you're right, though. It's a massive sort of, it's a lazy thing, isn't it, that they do. It's like the cheese factory or whatever it is where stupid Helen is. The minute they...
Correct name from now on, that's it. It's now Cidershed law. You're only allowed to say stupid Helen.
But, you know, they did just sort of go, oh, yes, we've put it on social media. They always call it social media as well. You can call a wagon wheel a wagon wheel. What about calling it what it is? Social bloody media. No one says that, do they?
Do you know what? I mean, I might. I'm saying,
Did I miss some wagon wheel chat? I went out there for a second on my audio.
We can have some wagon wheel chat. Wagon wheel was the first time I ever noticed shrinkflation.
Well, they mentioned that tonight, didn't they?
Yeah.
Or no, not on tonight, but they mentioned it on
Sunday.
Monday, I think. Sunday, yeah. Where he said it was a treat to eat wagon wheels, and him and Shula used to go round to other people's houses. But they were probably eating actual wagon wheels off wagons at Jill's place.
Yeah, I did like that detail where they went, who was it who said, I can't imagine you, Jill, buying wagon wheels. And Kenton, like you've just said about going around to other people's houses, where people bought things from shops.
Yeah, it's Kenton revealing himself to be a socialist, Comrade Kenton, wasn't he?
He
doesn't get hot and bothered about politics, music or art anymore. What was the last time Kenton engaged with music when he tested the speakers in the Bull and played music really, really loud? Do you remember what he was playing? It was incredibly nerdy.
Oh, no, I can't remember.
It was very bizarre. I think he set up some decks, I think, and he started playing his old vinyl. And it was Jeff Wayne's musical version of War of the Worlds.
Oh, to a pub.
I think, David was certainly in there and he was like, can you turn it down, Kenton, please?
I'm going to have to look that up on Spotify because that's going to be, because, you know, I'm always looking for stuff to work to. I reckon that's, if you're on a deadline, a bit of War of the Worlds would be absolutely fantastic.
It is a good album, isn't it? With Richard Burton speaking, isn't it?
And they do a live production of it now, don't they, where there's a hologrammatic Richard Burton that speaks. A few friends of mine in Ireland go to it every time it comes round.
In the 19th century, that human affairs were being watched from the timeless worlds of space.
Welcome to War of the Worlds podcast with Kerry Warbis, Peter Fickling, Matthew. But no, I'm looking forward to listening to that tomorrow. And Richard Burton, what a voice. That's the voice. Yeah. Because that's the thing. I don't know about you two, but obviously we hear our voices more than most people do. In my head, I sound like maybe Barry White or Richard Burton. But I know what you all hear, and I'm sorry. It's Joe Pasquale.
On helium. No, it isn't.
Joe Pasquale on helium. Yeah. Only dogs would hear him, Kerry.
It's not, Peter. You have a lovely voice.
I've got a theory that Joe Pasquale is a nasty piece of work. I hope I'm wrong, but I just get this feeling.
Heaven, see you in court.
Imagine getting a telling off from him.
What?
Or his bed, his pillow talk.
Tell Joe you want it. Tell Joe.
Call me daddy.
Yeah. And who's the daddy? Who's the daddy? I'm the daddy. I can't even. Is that how he talks?
He's not northern, but I love it.
Is he not a chuckle brother? Like,
he's not someone that has entered my consciousness. We've had this conversation before. I don't think I had thought about Joe Pasquale for at least 20 years until Peter brought him up about six months
ago. He's obsessed.
Yeah, Joe Pasquale's living rent-free in my mind. Hello, Joe.
You have met Peter, haven't you? Are we entirely sure he isn't Joe Pasquale?
I don't know. No, he's definitely not. No.
Okay.
All right. Unless that was a wig and you were on stilts or something.
I mean, you I'd take Joe Pasquale's career. I think I'd give that a go. Light entertainer. I mean, God knows what he's doing now. But anyway,
that's what you are now, love.
A light entertainer. Yeah, and I guess so. I mean, as I said, the podcast is doing very well. So you know,
might not after this week.
Yeah.
Dick pic chat.
Oh, the irony! The irony.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the one week we choose to crow is the same week we turn off all our listeners.
My terrible Leonard joke.
It was f-ing dreadful, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
It looks better on paper, I have to say.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't doubt you, Matthew. I really don't. So we've actually, like, I'm looking down as I sent the guys pictures of my notes earlier on, so they know the kind of.
He did not send us pictures of his dick, just so you know.
That's what I call my penis, my notes. and the only thing we have not covered is Peggy's thoughtful and generous gift to her community.
Ugh. Glad to hear there's some pushback from Alan.
Oh, yes. I loved that at last. I thought Lillian was really well placed to be wittering on like a nutter about it, trying to sell it to him. He was having none of it, was he?
There was that bit where she brought up the stained glass window that commemorates the struggle during the war. And Alan said, well, it's a bit different, isn't it? And I thought Lillian was going to say, like, well, have you been to Bridge Farm?
Is that why you were back from Portugal to try and persuade your village to put up a geodesic dome in honour of the weirds, like, you know, covering the whole cricket game?
It's just the utter entitlement of it, isn't the fact that they just assumed it was a given. And the other thing is, Lillian said that Peg is prepared to jump through hoops, so I presume that's how they're going to write her out.
But Lillian was perfect. They were very, very clever with placing her as the person who was showing the sketch. Going, look, here's Nova and there's Saren. The more she was describing it, the more ridiculous it sounded, even though we've heard all about it already before. Nova and Saren. And he went, ooh. It was that, you know, Tom and Natasha's twins and the two stars and the psalm quotation. We thought it would be best to keep it simple. I thought it was very clever to have her doing it. And then he sort of went, oh, there's also a question of where to put it. Well, she's already chosen. It's going to be over there near the font or something.
I very rarely, and I know this is something that other people say, that they shout back at the radio. And I happen to be walking out of Aldi tonight at the moment in my pods on when Alan presented all these different ideas for how Peggy might better use her money to help the community or the church. And she went, no, I'm afraid she's set on the window. And I just went, well, go fuck yourself then, as I was going down the steps.
They have been doing a lot of this sort of politics-free but sort of social commentary stuff recently, haven't they?
Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah, the juxtaposition of the haves and the have-nots and how obscene this all is.
And if you happen to also note that those politics, the right people in the village align with one particular political party and the wrong people in the village happen to align with another, that's between you and your observational skills. Mm. I do like the fact that, yeah, the food banks, the fact that Alan's like, just a second, 50,000 quid or whatever it is could get us 3 years of, you know, voluntary help and other kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's appalling, isn't it? Yeah. How will Peggy react? Do you think she'll go, oh, yes, I will give it all to you, Alan. You do what the f*** you like with it.
Everyone has a price, Alan. Everyone has a price.
One good thing is that we got to hear from Shula again. Because I assumed Usha was talking about talking to God. There is someone you could talk to, Alan. But it turned out to be Shula, and that was the only other time I yelled into the ether tonight, which was like, I'm going to spare Peter the bleep. But I yelled out when her voice came on. So
don't fucking came back, and I absolutely. I'll take your bleep, Matthew, and spend it. Thank you. What?
And that, everything about that phone call was revolting, wasn't it? Obviously, it involved her. That's never good. Then Alan sort of went,
Thank you, Shula. You've solved all my problems by saying something right f***ing obvious.
You wittering on about yourself for 30 seconds has done me a right favour. Thanks, Shula. Yeah.
I like the way she is assimilating, though, Shula. She's got into the local delicacies in Sunderland because she said she feels like a headless chicken most of the time.
I was surprised they had phones there.
Is this where I crowbar in my iPhone?
My iPhone.
I did also think, because we seem to be upsetting a lot of people from Sunderland recently, because we do know the difference between the Geordies and the Mackhams. We've just, you know, it's been a bit lazy a couple of times, haven't we? But I'm going to do it again. Yeah. But this time we're going to assume that Shula doesn't know the difference, and she's going to set up a holistic centre for helping people with drug addiction in Sunderland, and she's going to call it Why High Man.
You've redeemed yourself.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. Class, was it form is temporary, class is permanent? You know, well done, Matthew, for getting back on the horse.
The horse?
That's Torres in the new camp, that is.
Yeah. It's horse heroin.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
I mean, this is a much longer conversation, but I am always fascinated. Well, you two told me off a few weeks ago when I was going on about why crystal meth was so popular in New Zealand. But I think it's very fascinating why different drugs take hold in different countries.
Mm.
But like, why is heroin so popular in the UK and particularly Scotland? Anyway, that's if anyone knows, send us an email because I'd love to hear. Now that I've broken the whole thing down and ruined it, I might as well take the take the opportunity to chuck an ad in. Oh, and if you want to reward Matthew's terrible puns, my diversions, or Kerry's meat pie based lifestyle, then please feel free to go to patreon.com/thecidershed. There have been lots more generous people logging on there the last week or two, and we really appreciate it. So if you want to dodge the ads, that's where to go.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, guys, we've covered it all. I mean, I thought when Kerry sent
we
the
haven't.
List, haven't we?
Oh. No.
What have we missed?
We've Friday's episode, which is today.
Yeah.
Jill with her sausage casserole.
You're right.
The sausage and mash. Oh, I see into the future. She sounds like Peggy now, doesn't she? Very frail. And I was thinking, God, if Ben says I f***ed Chelsea and I'm having a baby over this sausage and mash, I thought she was just going to sort of fall down dead.
Yeah, it was a bit like that, wasn't it? I can see there's trouble, but there's always ups and downs in a relationship. Oh, yeah, yeah, I got Chelsea up the duff, Nan. Get the fuck out and give me that fucking pendant as well.
Yeah, well, no, imagine that, finding out that your best grandchild has a chance at, you know, upgrading to Chelsea. You can fuck off. Give me that ring back. Yes. Ben, get Chelsea over now, pronto.
I still think it's absolutely mental that Jill gave Beth that pendant.
Mm.
Really weird.
I did feel a little bit nauseous when Jill was sort of saying, and I've always thought you two might be soulmates, and I thought, this is too much.
I think it was all a plot device, obviously, wasn't it? Because the pendant, this is a clanging thing. It was topaz, which is something to do with fidelity, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. But there's no way that Jill, in real life, would have given a girlfriend who hasn't been there that long family heirloom, would they?
Kerry, seeing as you've got a bit of a gemologist, whatever the correct word is, what is the precious stone most associated with soul-sucking boredom and tedium?
Coal.
Coal, yeah, okay. So eventually a diamond, I guess. Well, you know, under the excruciating pressure of Beth's relentless tedium, I guess it could eventually compress into a diamond.
I do know, I felt sad at the end of this week's where Beth and Ben were getting back together. Because I thought, oh no, they are going to be the future.
That's exactly what I thought. I had this moment where I was like, this is not Jill is speaking on behalf of the script writing team, the story editing team, and saying, we are rubber stamping this relationship. And you know, you now know that as with Helen, as with Tom, as with all the worst characters, Beth is going to be back 4 or 5 times a year for different plot lines. We're going to have to hear her first year being cajoled into a panto. We're going to have to hear have a baby. We're going to have to, all of this stuff is.
Oh, hey, I got it. Chelsea's going to play Mary in the Nativity and Ben's going to be the innkeeper. And he's going to be, right, it's a bit awkward, Mary. You can't really let you in because my wife Beth doesn't want you in the house, but the shed out the back's free.
I wonder when the due date is. It's definitely not Christmas, is it? She's 15 weeks or so, isn't she?
Yeah.
I bet they've planned this so that the baby is born at Easter or something.
1st of July was the rave, wasn't it?
So. Yeah.
Do the maths.
August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, March, April time. Something like that. Do you know what? The most ridiculous thing that happened this week in the Archers was that Eddie put a pie in and peeled some carrot.
Eddie's a new man.
It would be remiss of me not to point out, because I do get a lot of messages on social media, and it, like I said, it peaked a bit this week when I was back in the UK. Kate got in touch to say that 2 out of 3 of David and Ruth's kids have now had accidental pregnancies with people who they weren't romantically involved with. So are they Randy stupid, or does that say something about David and Ruth's parenting?
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, you can be Randy and stupid. I mean, look at Boris Johnson. So, well, yeah.
Yeah, true. So I wonder what will happen to the third of theirs.
Josh.
Mm.
He's going to get a chicken pregnant at some point, isn't he?
Is he Randy? Is he stupid? Is he both?
I think he's it's all about the money, isn't it? All about status. Mm. I like Josh. I'm just, you know.
I'm liking him recently. He used to get on my nerves, but recently I've started to like his character. I know, Kerry, you like him.
Yeah, I like Rex too. There are some characters I like.
Yeah, do you know what? After we had our whole kind of Russ attack a couple of weeks ago, I nearly sat down and wrote a list of characters I do want to hear from and characters I do not want to hear from, but I was kind of worried about what the results might be, so I didn't.
I like Alistair. I like Jacob. I'm trying to think of any women I like. Chelsea.
You don't like Tracy or Fallon?
Jolene.
I did worry that whether it said something about me, whether I was sexist, the number of women I disliked in The Archers.
Mm.
And then I was thinking, was it actually the sexism in the writing team?
Mm.
The women are generally more annoying than the men in the show. But then George, who else has recently turned up? George and a few other of the male cast members have been incredibly irritating recently and made me feel a bit better about myself that I wasn't just kind of relentlessly disliking the women.
I think we all love Kate because she's so revolting.
Yeah, she's amazing.
That's a good character.
Chris is bloody annoying.
That's it. Thank you. Chris was the guy that made me just feel like, no.
Since I've seen the actor, like running around naked, not naked, what's it called? Wild swimming.
He's quite hot, isn't he?
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with him. He's got a big old six pack on him. And he's also in the new Star Wars series, Andor, on Disney.
Well, that's good. Well, hopefully he won't have time for the Archers. Good on him. Matthew, you said that people had been in touch
They were liking the stories on our Instagram, and you can follow our Instagram, and more and more people are doing it. We've got lots of love stroke hate, mainly love for our Chelsea growl on there. And you can follow us at the Cider Shed Pod. And we also have a Facebook group called the Cider Shed Podcast. Lots of people popping up there with their varying opinions, but it's a generally nice place. There are some Facebook groups regarding the Archers, which are not nice places. Mm-hmm. Ours is.
And Kerry, if people want to appreciate Chelsea's growler, or your growler, anyone's growler. If anyone's wants growler chat on Twitter, where do they go?
Anyone can appreciate anyone's growler. That is correct. On Twitter, we're at the Cider Shed Pod. We've got 2,571 followers as of today.
So 47,000 that we have listeners.
Yeah.
Oh, keep up, Kerry.
Those maths are worse than Brad's.
Yeah. And we've had a new 5-star review as well. Thank you, Kenny Koala Bear. Brilliant podcast about the Archers. Very relaxing listen, just like listening with your friends at the Bull about the goings on of the week. Look forward to listening every week.
We hear that a lot, don't we? That we sound like people
in the pub.
You're down the pub with. Funny that, isn't it? Yeah, maybe. Some indeterminate point in the future, maybe us three will sit in a pub and have a pint.
Well, I gave up going to the pub at the same time as this podcast started, pretty much. So, you know, this is as close as I get in any given week.
It is funny that the three of us have never met together, have we?
No.
Still.
No. I've met Kerry. Kerry's met Peter, but the three of us have never been in the same room.
At a molecular level, bits of kind of like Matthew's dead skin or kind of like might have been on a jumper you wore or something, Kerry.
A crumb of pork pie crust.
Exactly. Yeah, a little bit of chorizo.
Under my fingernail.
Yeah, somehow. But that'd be about as close as Matthew and I have ever got. It's going to be a beautiful moment, Matthew. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes.
Yeah. You're looking forward to it. I can't wait for the pics that follow.
Yeah, it's going to be handsome off in the flesh.
Woo!
Let's get the football chat out of the way.
Oh, there's nothing to report because the games don't start again until tomorrow. So
brilliant.
Yeah, everything is as it is.
There's a couple of stonking games tomorrow.
You should have had an invite, Matthew, from Hugh.
Hugh can just invite himself as long as he has the password, the login and the password. He should just go straight in. I'll share it on the Facebook again, and the Twitter, what the login is. As far as I know, as long as you already had an existing team that was registered at the start of the season, you can dip into any league with your current points total. But if you never registered a team, I think you're done. Mm. I don't think you can join.
Is it attached in our podcast notes? That would be a good place. I thought it was at some point. Because not everyone goes to Facebook.
Yeah. We'll put it in the podcast notes then, because there is a password to join. I mean, so, but like I said, it's kind of that thing that you can't just build a team tomorrow and join. You already had to have a team registered at the start of the season. Otherwise you'd come in on 0 points and give Peter a chance to not be bottom.
Oh, please, if someone wants my team, I will happily reset the password and send it to you.
Peter, who are West Ham playing tomorrow?
I've no idea. My life, I don't have time for...
Aren't they playing Wolves? Because there's talk of Diego Costa's going to play.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, I genuinely, before life got complicated, I would be... Do you know what it was? So I used to go to the pub and watch football twice a week in the pub. And then now I just listen to the podcasts. I don't actually look ahead for any games anymore.
No, I'm with you. I often listen to just the crazy phone-ins afterwards to hear people going nuts.
But I bet you know who Chelsea are playing tomorrow.
Chelsea have got Palace away, haven't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a big match though as well.
It's Manchester Derby, isn't it, Sunday?
Tomorrow.
Was it tomorrow? I thought it was Sunday.
No. The big match tomorrow. The Saturday big match.
Oh, the North London Derby.
Yeah.
Well,
I did see a very good quote from Amanda Breuer, who plays for Chelsea today, that said when Tottenham came in for him first, his parents said, "Tottenham want you." And he said, "Who's Tottenham?"
Excellent. Yeah. And Liverpool Brighton as well tomorrow.
Actually, didn't one of our patrons actually say, I just became a patron, you're slagging off Tottenham?
Yeah. And yeah, we will never stop. We will never stop. You've done a bad thing supporting that shower of shit team, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
But I, you know, I do have some friends that are Tottenham fans, I must say.
No, you don't. Not real friends. Anyway, guys, it's been...
No, we've got John Cooper. Hello. Love you. You're a Spurs fan. Even though I'm an Arsenal fan, I still love you.
I don't know. What you just did is wrong, Kerry. Wrong.
It was end. It was Joe, wasn't it? Our patron who's a Spurs fan. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm not saying Spurs people, Spurs fans can't be good, but it's just, you know, it's a harder lift for them, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they're grim.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, to the rest of you non-Spurs fans, have a lovely week. Thank you for tuning in as always. To you chicken loving, white shirt wearing dollops of shit, you know, see you next week.
Oh, I love everyone. Bye.
Yeah, love in equal measure. Bye. Hang on.